We're on sermon number 10, Whatever Happened to Right and Wrong. The purpose of this sermon is to reveal that the law of God has been a revelation of God's character and the standard of his government down through the ages. It's also to help people to understand that the law of God is not done away with, but that God's law provides that basis of morality. We begin this sermon with, does right and wrong ever make a difference? And we point out kind of an amusing little introduction in which we raise the question that somebody said, the nice thing about crime is that it often happens, most of the time, to somebody else. And it's really true that you don't think very much about crime until it happens to you. Crime and violence are everywhere. Crime is big business. And you have cult murders, assassinations, hijackings, terrorist bombings, and crime is really exploding. Now, occasionally you will see statistics that indicate crime is down. But in actual fact, if you look at the major crimes in America today, crime is off the charts. Crime is exploding in America. We're getting more sophisticated crimes all the time. Not only is crime and lawlessness off the charts, but you have moral decency that's off the charts. You have immorality, pornography, child pornography that's occurring today. And when you look at our society, it's obviously a society that's falling apart at the seams morally. Our first text in this sermon is Hosea 8, verse 7. We lead up to the text by pointing out that even some churches today are teaching that God's standard of right and wrong no longer applies, that his commandments, some of these churches say, are abolished. Hosea 8, verse 7 tells the reason why we have such lawlessness in our society. Tells you what's behind that lawlessness. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. Hosea 8 verse 7 and Proverbs 16 verse 25 are the two clearest texts in the Bible that clearly define why we're at where we are in our society. Hosea 8 7 says, they sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. What does it mean that we are sowing the wind? Now, I feel that we can do a little better on the comments here after this passage, because we just read the text. What does it mean we sow the wind, we're reaping the whirlwind? Here's what it means. If you sow immorality in your life, you're going to reap immorality in society. If you sow lawlessness in your life, you're going to reap lawlessness in society. We reap what we sow. When you cut down the tree of Christian morality by saying that the law of God is done away with, the fruit of Christian virtue in society dies. So what the text is actually saying by we sow the wind and we reap the whirlwind is that this society is reaping what it sows. When you say that the law of God is done away with, when you say there is no standard of righteousness except your mind, when you say there is no moral criteria to govern behavior, then society explodes in lawlessness. So we go from Hosea 8, verse 7 to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Here it is, Proverbs 16, 25. I would have my audience read this text. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You want to have your audience read this text. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. The Bible says, there is a way that seems right to the man, but the end is the way of what? There's a way that does what? Seems right, but the end is what? Death. What is the way that seems right, but the end is death? It's my own way. It's the way of my own mind. It's the way of my own thought patterns. It's my own thinking process. There's a way that seems right. I can say, well, look, many young people say, hey, what's wrong with adultery before marriage? It's okay, we're in love. Somebody says, what's wrong with taking something from your employer if he's already a millionaire and you need it to feed your children? What's wrong with that? Somebody else says, look, what's wrong with the whole idea of extramarital affairs? What's wrong with that? I mean, if I don't get enough love at home, you see, there is a way that seems right, but the end is what? Death. The reason our society is in the state that it is, the reason there's so much crime and violence in our society, is because men and women have turned their back on an objective moral standard, which is God's law. They've turned their back on God's foundation for God's government. So we go through the sermon pointing out that God does have a standard. Over on page 4, we raise the question, what are the rules? Can we know what's right and wrong? Is anything black or white anymore? Or does most behavior fall into the fuzzy gray area? Those are very important questions. I want you to underline them in your book. There are 4 questions there. What are the rules? Can we know what's right and wrong? Is anything black or white anymore? Or does most behavior fall into the fuzzy gray area? Then we say a long time ago, God gave us a formula. And that formula is found in Exodus chapter 20. It's a formula to make us safe and happy. It's a formula that will enable us to understand God's standards. We introduce here the 10 commandments, and we simply read them. You shall have no other gods before me. We go through the commandments one at a time. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Now, sometimes when I'm going through the commandments, I will do something like this, and you may want to pause and do it. As I'm going through the commandments, I'll say, are the commandments relevant today in an age of materialism where people are worshiping their homes and worshiping their cars and worshiping how many corporate boards they're on or worshiping their credit cards? The 10 commandments are still relevant. The first commandment says, you shall not have any other gods before me. In an age when people are dragging the name of Jesus through the dust, and that name of Jesus that is so holy and righteous is being used as a curse word, the commandment speaks with relevance and it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. At a time when people's lives are being taken with indiscriminate wantonness, and you have abortions, people are being killed and murdered, babies in the womb, and at a time when there's murder in our city streets and bombs drop and we live in the nuclear society, God says, you shall not murder. Are the commandments relevant today? At a time of pornography and adultery and sex before marriage, at a time when 14 and 15 years old are permissive in their sexual activity, and guys are running around in their wives and women are running around in their husbands, God still says, you shall not commit adultery. See, sometimes I'll pause on every commandment, just a sentence or two, to help people see, wait a minute, hey, these are not some archaic commandments, but they're designed to make us happy and to have our lives filled with joy and meaning. Even the angels keep the commandments. Psalm 103, verse 20, page 7, bottom. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. We go down through the sermon and point out that the great biblical greats knew that the commandments were the basis of all the divine government. Page 9, Joseph knew adultery was a sin. Moses knew that breaking the Sabbath was a sin, even before the written commandments were given. The written commandments were given because they drifted away from God's law. But even before that, we come down to the fact of love and the commandments. You know, many Christians will say, and there'll be evangelical Christians coming to your meetings that'll say, if you love God, you don't have to keep the commandments. It's important, I believe, to have your audience read with you John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15 is a very critical text that the audience should read. Jesus says in John 14, 15 in class, let's say it together, if you what? Love me, you don't have to keep my commandments. Is that what he says? He says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Follow this point. Now, as you're preaching this, I would pause. You'll find this on page 10, second slide up. You'll see the slide, if you love me, keep my commandments. Page 10, second slide up from the bottom. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I would stop there and say, Jesus does not say, if you love me enough, you don't have to keep my commandments, does he? He doesn't say, if you love me, all you have to do is love me, the law's done away with. He says, if you love me, you will keep his commandments. Now, at this point, I would make an appeal to my audience, a very short one, but here's what you do. At this point, you say, how many of you love Jesus? And what's the audience going to do? Most of them are going to raise their hand, right? How many of you love Jesus? They're going to raise their hand. How many of you love him enough to do what he says? And he says, if you love me, do what, everybody? Keep my commandments. How many are going to do that? Now, at this point, they don't know anything about the Sabbath. You're not asking them to keep the Sabbath. You're asking them to have a loving heart that loves Jesus so much to obey him. You're preparing the mind for the next topic, which is the Bible Sabbath. You then go on to Matthew chapter 22 in pages 10 and 11 and talk about the two commandments, love God and love your fellow man. Incidentally, did you know the text that said love God? Jesus is not giving a new commandment. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. Then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, Jesus is taking two commandments in the Old Testament, love God and love your fellow man, that summarize the entire Ten Commandments. And what's Jesus doing with this? If anybody asks you, here's what he's doing. And you'll get questions on this. He's saying you can summarize the whole law in one word, and that's love. Now, if you want to break down the law, the first four commandments show you how to love God. The last six commandments show you how to love your fellow man. So Jesus is quoting the summary of the law, love God with all your heart and love your fellow man as yourself. He's quoting the summary of the law from the Old Testament. What is that again? I think it's Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Jesus isn't introducing something new. Deuteronomy 5 is the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 is love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, he's summarizing the Ten Commandments. Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 19, I think it is, verse 18. You're going to write this down in your notes. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, still before Numbers, didn't change. 19, verse 18, here we go. Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know what I do to people sometime? I say, let me read something to you and tell me where it comes from. Love your neighbor as yourself. They say, oh, that's Jesus in the New Testament. I say, sorry, that's Moses in the Old Testament. Because it's a summary of the Ten Commandments. So all the law summarized what one word. What is it? Love. But if you want to love God, you keep the first four. You want to love your fellow man, you keep the last six. So Jesus was summarizing the Ten Commandments. You go through the sermon showing that if we love Jesus, we're going to keep his commandments. We point out that the law is not our Savior, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. We are saved by grace. We point that out on pages 16 and 17 of our sermon. We come to the appeal of this sermon, and the appeal is based on this fact. God has given us the Ten Commandment law as a standard of righteousness. He appeals to us to be obedient to him. We are not saved by our obedience. We're saved by what, everybody? Grace through faith. But he will have a group of people who are obedient. Revelation 14, verse 12. You come to the last book of the Bible, and our Lord pictures a group of people in Revelation 14, verse 12. Here it is, Revelation 14, verse 12. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Will God have a group of people that are keeping his commandments in the last days? Will he? The Bible says, here is the endurance of the saints, the believers. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Jesus with outstretched arms. I'm on the appeal now, page 21. I'm on the appeal, slide 154. Picture Jesus with the outstretched arms. Jesus with outstretched arms is saying, come. He's saying, I will give you power to live for me. Not only does Christ say, I invite you to keep my law, but he says, I'm going to give you the strength to keep it. He says, I'm going to give you the power to keep it. I'm going to give you the power to live an obedient life. He's saying, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Salvation can be yours today. You can be that obedient follower of Christ today. Don't let anything hold you back. Jesus is saying, come home to my heart. Jesus is saying, I want to give you grace and power. You see, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is grace when we've failed and power to live obediently. You may think in your life, I have failed. I have disobeyed my Lord. You might think the law is a standard of holiness which I can never achieve. Jesus says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Would Jesus ask you to do something that's impossible to do? Are you saying that you're too weak, you're too frail? Jesus says, I understand that. Come with your weakness. Come with your frailty. Come with your sin-spotted life. Come and say, Jesus, I not only want you to forgive me, but Jesus, unless you give me power, I can never live your life. Unless you give me power, I can never obey you. Jesus, I acknowledge that I am weak. I acknowledge that I'm a failure. No matter what you've done in the past, he'll forgive you. And Christ will give you his strength to live a new life. Sir, have you been failing in your marriage and getting angry and impatient with your wife? Christ will give you strength to live a new life. Have you been failing? Some habit gripping you? Alcohol, tobacco? You can't control that urge? Have you been failing, disobeying God's law? Come to Christ today. Not only will he forgive you, but he will give you the power to live a new life. Would you like that power right now? If you'd like that power, and at this point again, it's another one of those sermons that I like the audience to kneel. And I say, I'm leaving you alone with God, and I'd like you to kneel. The piano's going to quietly play. But if you want that new heart, that new life, if you want Jesus to work a miracle in your life right now, I want you to pray. Just get on your knees wherever you are. People begin to kneel all over the auditorium, and they open their lives to Christ. When you make this appeal as a lay preacher, God's going to anoint your lips. God's going to touch their hearts, and they will be kneeling, giving their lives to the Lord, and you will find the greatest satisfaction and joy in your life as somebody comes up to you and says, thank you, because it was that night that I made my full commitment for Jesus. God bless you as you preach for him and make appeals for him.